The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Breaking news.
Pink Blank is making a comeback.
Oh my god, is that
Suya? Do you like K-pop?
Yes.
What do you mean
my bias group just disbanded?
Pop or flop? Boys That Sing, newest.
Did you hear
comeback.
About Worldwide?
Is this over for their careers?
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to be canceled?
Hello everyone! Welcome to canceled. I am here with the lovely two people here, but first let me introduce the podcast. Okay, welcome back to Cancelled. This is the podcast where I'll be spilling tea about the latest K-pop news and my crappy takes on the ever-growing industry. My name is Kevin. I'm your host of the show. And for updates, go check me out on Instagram at _kevstea. That is spelled K-E-V-S-T-E-A. I'll be posting about the podcast and other things I'm working on. So I have two guests with me for this podcast. It's going to be a bit chaotic this time around, probably. You guys might recognize their voices if you guys like paid attention in like the intro that we did. Yeah, this is them. Oh my god, they're finally here on the podcast. So please introduce yourselves, starting with the man right here. Let's go.
Hey, what's up? My name's Tyler. I'm a fourth year new media classmate with Kevin. I don't listen to too much K-pop.
Yeah.
I love everything Blackpink.
Yeah.
And I might get canceled for that.
Oh, okay. We'll see about that. All right, move on.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Samantha. I'm also a fourth year new media student and also a classmate of Kevin.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been into K-pop. I mostly just casually listen to some songs now, but if anything, 2012 groups, I know a lot about them because that was my era. But yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah. Great. Woo. How are you guys doing today? Or in just in general?
We're doing, yeah.
We're doing?
Yeah, we're surviving, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of early.
Yeah. Sorry, I know. This is like the only time we have available.
Early? Early? Yeah.
Early?
It's kind of early.
It's 11:45.
But I would be sleeping by now because I didn't have class earlier.
Oh, yeah. Right. So I decided to invite these two losers here today. whoa, watch your language. No, I'm kidding. Y'all are amazing. I invited you guys here today because I'm actually taking a bit of a spin for this podcast episode. So usually we talk about K-pop on this channel, but actually we're going to be talking a bit more about J-pop on this episode. And I think you two are some of the biggest weebs I know. I know.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Wow, I can't even deny.
So we're going to talk about K-pop versus J-pop, actually, which is an interesting topic because, you know, usually we talk about K-pop on this podcast, but now we're broadening our horizons just for this episode to see how we feel. So, like, you guys are really into J-pop, or I guess the broader category of J-music.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about that, because, like, when I was doing my research on it, like, even just from hearing you guys talk about it, like, J-idol music and J-pop music is very different from each other, right?
Yes.
And, like, when we say K-pop in Korean, like, referring to K-pop, like, as a genre of music, like, we usually mean, like, everything under that thing. But mostly, like, idol music for K-pop, right?
Kinda, yeah. A lot of times, like, maybe some popular idols start from, like, underground.
Mm.
But, like, a lot of the times, if you're underground, you stay underground or something. And the industry seem quite separate. From what I know.
Yeah, they are pretty separate. There is one thing to clarify, like, beforehand, though, is that the K-pop industry and the J-pop industry stem from the same thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
K-pop originally was inspired by J-pop back in, like, the late 2000s, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
SNSD's first song is very J-pop, like, reminiscent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
What was their first song? Into the New World?
Yeah, Into the New World.
Yeah.
It is very J-pop reminiscent. It's just the way that the countries fostered their talents, made them, like, very different today.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think because K-pop companies, like, took inspiration from Western artists over time.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I can see that, yeah.
K-pop nowadays is very heavily inspired by, like, R&B.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, sampling thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You see a lot of songs, like, even BTS was sampling, like, a lot of other songs. Like, they sampled one of J. Cole's songs.
Oh, okay.
From moving on from, like, the, like, high energy pop, like, very, like, I guess, positive, like, music and I guess you could call it positive. Like, it's very upbeat.
Upbeat, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moving on from that, K-pop moved towards like Western international audience.
Yeah.
The main difference I see now is that J-pop and the idols, the reason why you don't hear about it a lot like in the West or anywhere else is because it's Japanese music made for Japanese people.
Yeah.
Super insulated. So it,
yes,
in that
so
sense,
it
yeah.
only gets releases in Japan via CDs and Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I guess K-pop also taps into that audience just because they're like Japanese releases too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like they're only released in Japan. You can yeah. only get the CDs in Japan.
Yeah.
It's not like K-pop, like regular K-pop where like, yeah. you can get the CDs elsewhere.
Yeah. Usually yeah. for K-pop music, like it's, you know, they have a record label that broadcasts
yeah,
it
yeah.
everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Whereas J-music, like you said, it's very limited to just in Japan.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That's because also for Korea, you don't hear about them touring Korean cities and
yeah.
whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main differences too, is because they're trying to find international stages and broaden like their horizons. Japanese, like the idol groups go on their like 25th tour of Japan because it's Japanese music for the Japanese,
yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's another thing of, like, what I was going to say with kind of the difference between how the talents are fostered. In Japan, it's, like, it's not just singing, dancing, and being on stage, but more so as a personality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They try to get their idols into as many radio shows, as many events, and, like, other kind of shows as possible. Because the whole thing is, like, so AKB48 originally had 48 members, now they have like over 120.
Oh jeez, okay.
They have to fight for like center spot.
Yeah.
Like you have to fight for popularity.
Yeah. It's like a popularity contest because in Japan the whole thing is like you're there to support your favorite member.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why you see those stan culture is kinda insane. Like K-pop is insane in a different way, like
yeah.
positive. But like Ita bags and things like that, where they have lots of badges, or like when they collect the merch and when you see a member's birthday and you just see the shrines of merchandise.
Oh my god.
Where like there'll be like hotel rooms and the windows are just covered with like bromides, like photos of them, just because they buy so much stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It feels kind of like for K-pop, like we say bias, right? But
it's
the same
thing. Oshi.
Yeah, like it feels kind of like obsessive and creepy at the same time.
Yeah,
that's.
It feels more creepy for Japan.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. Also,
because the market, the audience, the target audience that they're trying to do is like males.
Yeah,
that are like in their late 30s.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like protecting the like a lot of times the idols should be pure.
Mm,
I guess there's a lot around that
yeah.
and a lot around the fantasy of that
mm.
and that's not the case for most people
yeah.
but the fans want to believe that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess K-pop in some senses where like dating is still like not a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like these days I find more so it's more allowed, but like in J-pop no.
Yeah.
No.
I think like with K-pop, like it's kind of thanks to the Western perspective
yeah.
that like you know, idols can date, just don't make it public
yeah,
kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think in Korea where it's still conservative, where, like, there are mindset is like, don't date, you know? Like, you're mine kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have to stay single. You have to be, like, you have to act like you're available,
you know,
to fans.
The fantasy is so important
yeah.
in selling the...
But I think it's, like, not as big of an issue in Korea... Like
not
in the
these
K-pop?
Days, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
But I don't know about before when you were
I felt like it was much bigger deal last time where like for me I hardly heard of people dating and even when I did it was like kind of like really big news.
Yeah.
Like I think
like the Hyuna and Dawn situation.
That was also already on like kind of things were looking up for like people accepted that more.
Ah, okay.
I remember when like Kai and Crystal started dating.
Crystal
like, FX.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember when that came out. It was people were like, "What? No way!" Or like, I saw a lot of hate online.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "Oh, cool, they're dating." But like, I feel like the reaction these days is more positive than negative because I know like, I had a lot of friends that were big fans of like Hyuna and Dawn like being together, and then like when it happened, I was like, they're like, "Oh no, my my OTP or something.
Do you think, like, if Japanese music or J-Idol has, like, more Western influence?
I feel like there's, like,
Okay. Would they ever, though? Like,
even their culture in general in Japan doesn't allow for that much, because, like, even as, like, a foreigner, if you're going there to live there, you have to abide by their cultural norms.
Yeah.
They get uncomfortable when you don't. Mm. And it's, like, not even, like, a negative thing. It's, like, it's just how it is.
Oh,
So I don't think they'll be very open to, like, having a Western audience. Unless you're, like, kind of the mainstream ones.
Mm.
Then I see them, like, touring and things like that. Especially with, like, the rise of anime and stuff. Like,
yeah.
If you've done an anime opening, probably you're more open to, like... being more
Western influence.
Those are also mostly like indie or like other, or like bands that aren't like idols.
I forgot their name. Kimi no Na wa.
Radwimps.
Radwimps does tours. But they're not idols.
Didn't they come to Toronto?
They came to Toronto last year.
Did you guys go?
Unfortunately, I couldn't. They came last year in April.
Oh.
I just started in my new job, so I couldn't request time off yet.
That's rough.
That's rough. Okay.
I had a friend that went to the Singapore one, and everyone only knew Kimi no Na wa songs, Your Name songs, and like when they sang any other song, it was quiet. I'm like, no.
It's also so kind of weird too, because for Radwimps, they're more rock.
Mm.
So their Kimi no Na wa stuff is different.
Yeah.
No, the regular stuff is really good.
Yeah. Oh my god, the regular stuff is really good.
Oh, okay. Moving on to like more the music-wise, right? Mm. Like, what do you guys like about each genre? Like, what do you guys like about K-pop? What do you like about J-pop?
So, I don't really listen to idol music that much. Mm. Actually, the closest thing I listen to for idol music is, it's a virtual idol group called Hololive.
Yeah.
I don't really listen to their idol songs.
Mm.
Basically...
It doesn't have to be idol music.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could talk... about J music as a whole versus K music.
Basically, like, for the idol music, I just think that it's too sweet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't like the fact that for them, it's like they're all singing at the same time, so I can't
differentiate. Wait, that's so true. I never thought about that.
Yeah. If you notice it, like, for K-pop, each of them have their own parts.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
the chorus is, like, together.
Yeah.
For, like, idol music, it's usually just all together.
Got to compensating for not being able to sing.
Yes, that's a running gag where the Japanese idols are no talent.
Yeah,
I mean
they're just pretty with personality.
A lot of the time they get scouted off the streets.
Mm.
Yes,
so like it's more for looks or like if you can dance or something like that.
I see.
Yeah, so then that's kind of why the whole thing is like that.
Yeah,
and why people like. Instead of fostering talent, I mentioned before that they foster personality and like you know. But
like that's why I can never get into J Idol.
Yeah, so idol music is not for me.
Mm.
Mm.
Individually, I kind of like the way that Japanese idols kind of put their music.
Mm.
There's a lot of like emphasis on strong vocals because a lot of them start covering Vocaloid songs, which is AI generated voice or like it's computer generated voices.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot of them cover it. And only to make it big, you're taking this song, you're covering it, and you need to stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting because like with J music, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You either focus on dance or you focus on vocals.
Yeah.
Very rare you get the both of them.
Yeah.
They don't foster them together. I'm guessing just because of how strong idols were when they first debuted, they started being like, hey, well, they don't need to sing and dance. We could just have them. Be pretty and garner fans. So then they garner personality. And because that formula has worked for the past like 15 years now, they're not changing it.
Yeah. Mm. We're going to go on to a music review. Okay, so yeah, so for this music review, we checked out Plave's The Sixth Summer. So just to give you guys some context, because you're probably just wondering, like, who the hell is Plave? So Plave is actually a virtual boy group that uses CG tracking. So kind of like J-pop. Artists, they are anonymous. Some interesting facts about them is like, since they're doing CG tracking, they sing, they dance, they rap, and they also write their own music. Actually, I think they have credits for this song actually. And the reason why I wanted to showcase them for this episode. I think there's a lot of similarities between the two worlds, right? So, what do you guys think?
I liked it a lot.
I thought it was really good. The composition was really nice.
Yeah. For me, I wrote down, like, it's a great song to listen to when, like, you're feeling sad. And I mean, I listened to it many times now, so I got a chance to, like, really absorb, like, the lyrics and, like, the message of the song. Like, did you guys, like, get a feel of that as well?
Yeah. I realized partway through, there's a certain sound that K-pop has that, like, that kind of, like, longing sound. I don't get that from J-pop, personally.
The
song kind of had a bit of that, especially, like, the higher notes.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to explain it. Maybe that's just, like, a me when I experience music thing.
Yeah.
But I find that hits harder in K-pop.
Oh. Like, I like J-pop for, like, the high energy. And, like, I think they have, like, that
that's
long
fair.
Energy, right? But, like you were saying, like, what was it that you said? The...
It's kind of like a longing feeling.
The long feeling.
I don't really know how to
say
it.
Yeah, like, it's emotional for K-pop in the sense of, like you're sad or, like, you're hoping for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
The sound, to me, sounds... It hits something for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. What about you, Tyler?
Sorry.
It's okay.
I was focused a lot on the composition. I really like the composition. I really like songs that have a mix of, I guess, instrumental and synthetics, but mostly instrumental.
Yeah, yes.
I love instrumental, like, backings. Anything acoustic, like with a guitar or piano,
yes!
I love. Like, I love
Same.
To death.
I wrote that down.
that's why, like, a lot of the newer K-pop stuff, it's hard for me to listen to.
Yeah.
And then a lot of newer J-pop stuff is more so, like, I can only listen to it when I have energy. A lot of Japanese music that I do like is... reminiscent of this, where it's like instrumentals, piano with like synthetics in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
Just added on. And I was focused on the composition for this because I really liked it.
Yeah.
As for like the voice, the vocals were good. I liked the vocals a lot. I did get that sense of like longing and sadness. And yeah, not much else to say. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think a lot of things that K-pop are missing right now is like storytelling.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
say.
Like I got that from this song.
Yeah.
And like it just made me like, oh, yes, perfect.
Yeah.
Because storylines are like missing so much in K-pop nowadays. Like if you go back 10 years back or even like 5 years back, like there are storylines for the music videos,
yeah.
Right? And, like, I miss that in K-pop so much.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah. Back to the song. Like, so I usually do, like, a ranking of the song.
Okay.
So I have a few tiers. So there's Skip. So that's the worst one, right? There's Let It Play. So if you just hear it on your playlist or, like, just shuffle, like, you'll let it play. You won't skip it. Head Bop. So it's just, like, you know, Head Bop.
Mm-hmm.
Earworm. It's stuck in your head. And then Runway Status. It's just, like, you feel like you can, like, really bop out your head, like, the dance to it. You know?
I think I'll preface this first by saying the first time I listen to a song and I like it, it'll always, no matter what, be Let It Play. Because I don't know the song enough, and I want to become more accustomed before I get a more solid opinion on it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it'll never be a skip unless I actually don't like it from, like, the way it sounds.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I like the way it sounds, but I'm not too familiar with the song.
Yes, yes.
So for me, it'd be like, Let It Play.
Yeah, okay.
5 more times, maybe I have a better opinion of it.
Okay, okay. Fair enough. Fair.
Okay. This is one of those songs that for some reason, there's a certain emotion to it that makes me want to come back to it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's a hip bopper in the sense of like bopping my hip when I listen to it. But I feel like it's one of those songs where on occasion... it would just, like, maybe I have a certain feeling or it just comes to my head and I'm going to select this song specifically to listen to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So more on, like, the in-between then of head bop and, like,
Yeah. When it comes to on, I'll be happy. Be like, oh, it's this song, whatever. But there'll be some days where I'm like, I really want to listen to that song.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those songs that would be like that.
I think I ranked mine similar. So I said mine is like the in-between of head bop and earworm. Same idea. Like, if I'm feeling sad, this is the song I'm putting on.
I get that. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Amazing. So, final thing. We are running out of time. We're about to reach, like, I don't know how long this podcast is. I think it's reaching, like, that 1:30 mark. But we'll try to wrap up in, like, 5 minutes. All right.
Okay.
So, I usually have a spicy question towards the end of the cast. So, since we talked about J-music and K-pop and, like, everything in between of that, I want to ask you guys, like, can you see J-music following a similar path, like K-pop in the future?
Mainstream J music, yes. Not underground idols.
Oh, okay. So similar to like how K-pop is right now, where like the idol group is popular, but like the more
underground, yeah, like, I guess
unknown stuff.
Underground idol culture conflicts so much with Western culture. Just culturally, it's not even like a music thing. Just culturally, but the more prominent singers and stuff, I can see them branching out, but the audience would still mainly be Japan.
Oh,
that makes sense. They won't do like a BTS thing where they have English songs and stuff.
If
that makes sense. I don't think that will ever happen.
But
I believe that they will branch out more.
I feel like it's a possibility where like some anime song gets like so popular.
Yeah.
And like the artists sung it also maybe get like super popular. They start
touring around. Yoasobi kind of had that. And they're currently on a world tour or like they just finished or something.
Idol's also on a world tour now.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not gonna really follow like kind of the K-pop way just because K-pop takes a lot of its influence from Western. And for J-pop, it's mostly been like if they take the influence, they won't let you know. They won't let you know if they took the influence or not. I don't really see them releasing like English songs like they do in K-pop, like Sam said.
Yeah.
I can't see it happening.
Yeah.
There will be English in their songs, but that's just part of the culture. Throw in the random English in there.
They just do that to like make it rhyme.
Yeah.
For some parts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But like basically the consensus is there won't be a BTS level artist coming from Japan. Okay.
I don't think so.
They're not like I've mentioned this before, but it's like it's Japanese music for Japanese people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, even like the Uta Ites and people like that, you could, I own a Blu-ray for Addo. I don't have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, I have...
The dedication.
I have a CD player at home, and I have a friend that's into like Ensemble Stars, which is like an anime boy group idol kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
She buys CDs, asks me to rip them for her so that she can play it on her phone. My CD player.
Yeah, it's a whole thing where like, you could buy the K-pop albums to support the idols. You can own the CD, but it comes with a bunch of other goodies.
Yeah.
In Japan, it's like most of their sales come from the physical, just a CD.
Just a CD. Wow.
Wait, what about the clear file you get with it?
Yeah, it's true.
It's clear files.
So long as sales like last, there's a bunch of clear files that the CD stores or record stores get.
Yeah.
So for the first like, I don't know, 15,000, like 1,000, whatever, the people who buy the CD will come with a free clear file.
I have
30
clear files.
Is there a photo card with the CD?
Not even a photo card.
Yeah.
It's
postcards. It's postcards too.
Bromides.
There's like specific stuff for the Japanese like merch that you get only as bonuses.
Yeah.
You get them on the first order.
Yes.
I think that's similar to K-pop as well. Like pre-order bonuses. Yeah.
I guess. Well, yeah, these days they have that.
Yeah.
But
not when I was into K-pop. Yeah.
Like nowadays, like here in the West, I can't buy just a CD.
Also, K-pop kind of does this, but Japan does it more where like they release the CD with the single or the version B, which is CD with a behind-the-scenes video, or version 3 with this behind-the-scenes video and something else but without some other thing from the other two.
Yeah.
Or something, so in the end you have to buy all of them, you want all the content.
They actually make it so difficult for non-Japanese speakers.
And it's within their own ecosystem, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, as long as you guys like it, right?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we're probably gonna wrap up now. Do you guys have anything like last few words you want to say? Outro it out for me.
It's been really fun.
Thanks
for having us on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
Before anyone attacks us, both K-pop and J-pop, and we don't think there's necessarily a superior one.
Oh, they're very different.
Yes.
Yeah, they're
you can
very
like
different.
Them
no, K-pop.
Each
K-pop
for
K-pop
their
is superior.
Own thing. Ignore what Kevin said, because he's canceled!
Bye-bye. We're ending like that? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, bye!
Thank you!
Thank you!